This is Real Talk, the Customer Insights Show with Jen Vogel, a top-rated live stream and podcast in the market research and insights industry. We stream live on LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube, and you can listen on all major podcast channels. Join Jen and her guests for a weekly discussion around topics that will help you understand your customers better. Real Talk is presented to you by Vox PopMe, the leader in video research and ranked number one in qualitative research by Grit 2 years running. Here's today's conversation.
Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Jen Vogel, and you've heard us talk about actionable insights from time to time here on Real Talk. In fact, it's something we're always talking about across the industry, but what does that really mean? What are actionable insights exactly? How do we get them? And how do we ensure actions are actually taken from those actionable insights? To discuss the topic, I'm joined by Barry Jennings, Director, Cloud and Commercial Business Planning Insights at Microsoft, where he leads a team focused on delivering actionable insights that support Microsoft's commercial business units, including server, data platform, AI, development tools, cloud, and enterprise solutions. Barry's also a member of Vox PopMe's Customer Advisory Board. Welcome to the show, Barry.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Really excited to have this conversation today because, you know, as I mentioned, we talk about actionable insights all the time, but you are actually implementing and practicing actionable insights in a really special way. So I'm really looking forward to diving into that.
I hope I don't disappoint too much.
We'll be the judge of that at the end, okay? So to kick us off, can you just tell us a little bit about your career so far and how you landed at Microsoft?
Yeah. My story. It started a long, long time ago, 30 years or so ago. I was in college and my parents said, "Hey, Barry, we won't be able to help you with school as much as we would hoped. And so you need to get a job." And so I got three. And one of those jobs, I was a telephone interviewer at a market research company. And I did a ton of surveys and I liked it because I kind of like to talk. And then I was good at it. What do you do when somebody's good at something? You promote them. And so I became the supervisor, which was great. I could control my hours and work nights and go to school in the day. And I continued to learn and grow. And I don't know, within 8 months or so, I was like a field director and I had like 100 lines in this phone center. And it was kind of a cool thing. And then at some point I finished school and I went to the research side of it, learned how to build surveys, learned how to execute surveys. Back in those days, I used to also run data entry. That was a thing. And I did every type of research possible, qual, quant, and across a variety of industries from the, you know, public policy work to beer placement, to telephone ads, to transit studies, you name it. And at some point, I needed more money. And so I moved to a company that was eventually bought by Millward Brown called IntelliQuest. And it was a global brand tracking company at the time. And it was focused on technology. I liked tech. And so I made the jump. And I did international brand tracking for a couple of years. And then after that, I worked on our advanced methods team and worked on conjoint discrete choice type products. That was awesome. And I didn't know what happened with all that stuff after we did our thing to it. One of my customers was Dell. They had an opening and so I moved to Dell, stayed at Dell for 18 years or so. And I touched just about every part of the business, the consumer business, the commercial business. I spent many years focused on small and medium businesses. And then I think where I spent most of my time in deep focus was in our enterprise area where we dealt with servers and storage and networking and enterprise software. That was cool. Loved that. And after about 18 years, I was maybe dialing it in a little bit. And I was hanging out one day and the company was about to go private again. Or public again, I'm not quite sure which it was, but they had a really great voluntary separation package. I did the numbers and said, man, I could take a chance. And so I did. And then I left Dell and went to BlackBerry for a couple of years. Great learning experience. Learned a lot about research, learned a lot about what research can and cannot do. It's pretty cool to work at a company where your research was touching on things that were existential for the company. There were, as a researcher, a lot of what we did was literally life or death for the company. And that was energizing and scary and fun. And I learned a lot. And then after that, by that time, my wife had received an offer at Microsoft. And so we were living in the Pacific Northwest. I needed to make a move that made sense. And so I reached out and somehow finagled my way onto the research team at Microsoft. And I've been here for, I guess, almost a little bit over 7 years now.
Wow. And I mean, you've basically touched like every type of research, stage of research. You've like done it with your own bare hands all the way through to strategy. I mean, that's quite a career.
Well, and it's quite a lot of years and a lot of gray hair as I know, so.
Well, I mean, insights will do that too, for sure. And I will tell you, like anybody on my team or my friends know, I miss my BlackBerry so much. I fought the business transition from BlackBerry to iPhone at my old company, tooth and nail. I think I was the last one.
Yeah, it absolutely was a great product that had its day in the sun. So yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like an interesting experience, kind of, as you described, like life and death for the company research. I mean, that's really spectacular. And you've led teams delivering actionable insights. You've got, you know, once you moved over into that kind of client side, I thought that was interesting what you said, actually, like, I didn't know what happened to the research after we did what we were doing. And so, you know, that actionable piece kind of comes next, right? I'd love to kind of dive into that a little bit. And what to you does an actionable insight look like?
It's a great question. We when I first came to Microsoft, spent a lot of time on that. I looked up actionable a while ago, a couple of times, and the definition is like able to be acted on or having practical value. There's another definition. It's a legal definition that says giving sufficient reason to take action. And that sufficient reason really, really stuck with me because, you know, at Microsoft, we know that those actions lead to impact. And that's how I pay my team, more or less. Right. That's how we measure and manage. And I mean, for us, it starts with the framing of what we think we need to learn, right? We do a research brief like everybody else with stakeholders, and we really make sure we have a critical understanding of the business question or the problem that we need to solve before we start thinking about research. And we spend a lot of time, and it's a dance. Sometimes it's a beautiful dance. Sometimes it's not such a beautiful dance. But understanding what we're trying to solve for is absolutely critical, and you can't spend too much time there. You really can't. The next thing we do is we synthesize what we already know, and then we see how that chips away at the problem. Probably like lots of internal client-side research departments, there's a plethora of data. Not all of these questions are novel, and so sometimes you can present data to the person who needs it. It may be new to them, but it's not new to you. Mm-hmm. But after we've done that, we then try to figure out what new data that we need. And do we need to create something different? And we need to always understand, well, what are we going to do with that? How can you act on that? You know, if we're doing it right, actionable insights bring possibilities for making impact into discussions. You know, we make insights for conversations. I don't make Microsoft Word or Excel, right? That's not what my team does. We support that. And while not everything actionable gets used like we'd like, I wish that were the case. At the end of the day, it's the way we look at it. I look at it. It's more like a batting average you know, in the 400s range, as opposed to like Steph Curry's like free throw percentage, which is like 91%. If I was able to get 91% of my stuff used with my stakeholders, I don't know, maybe they put my name on a building on the Microsoft or something like that. At the end of the day, research is a part of an answer, along with what's going on with the competition, along with costs and COGS and financial goals and more. And for us, the actionable insights fits into those types of conversations where we're really trying to address the business problem, bringing the customer voice to that problem, and then really figuring out how we can move the needle relative to, you know, how the business operates and what constraints it operates in.
Mm-hmm. I love your sports analogy of how often the recommendation or the action is, or that sufficient reason, as you described it, actually gets used. And my question about that, like, do you, like, if you're batting 400 on that, is that a good, you know, given the other factors that you mentioned, like, does that feel like a good percentage, or do you want to be at that 95%?
Great question. Would I want to be? Yes, but I'm a realist. Sometimes we may have the exact right answer, but finance may have a different goal in mind. And so I may have an answer that may lead to a more profitable outcome. But if where the business now requires a lot more growth, and a little less profitability. I mean, that is what it is. If we have the best message, you know, the research can say this is the best message, but it doesn't always win. You know, like I said, we bring the customer's voice to the business question. And we bring a lot of other data as well, telemetry, consumption data, financial data, you name it. And that's great. But, you know, it doesn't always lead to a action in that moment. One thing, and the more probable thing. And it doesn't always lead to our answers don't necessarily say, oh, yep, research gave us the answers. Let's go. It's absolutely our way to go. And that is what it is. For us, it's figuring out how do we get into those right conversations? How are we moving the needle? How are we changing hearts and minds? You know, are they able to change that strategy in the first place? Can we get them to add a feature? Can we get them to use message A or message B? And then we understand, even though the research says message A is the best for the customer, sometimes we go with message B for other business reasons and just really understanding what we can and can't control. And also understanding that if we do the research well, it has a long life. And so the message B might not be the right message for right now, but it might be down the line. And it's more a matter of finding the right moments where we can figure that out. And I think that's where the real work of our work happens. It's driving impact, consulting with the business, working with our stakeholders, our other partners like finance and engineering, and being part of those ongoing conversations. A win for me sometimes is when somebody can pull an insight out of their pocket from a study that they did 6 months ago that's still relevant and still fresh. It's just in a different moment. And I've got a team of excellent researchers who can deliver that in the right moment. And that shifts the narrative sometimes. And something that wasn't due, wasn't right for right now, becomes the thing that we're able to push at that point in time, given, you know, again, the nature of the business, the position of the competitions, the will of the business, and so forth and so on. It's more of a journey right? Sometimes it's an odyssey, but it's how do we go about that journey, bringing what we know about the business? And again, sometimes things are quick hit, pretty straightforward. And sometimes it's one step of many steps to get a business to move one way or another.
Interesting. And yeah, what you said earlier about, you know, the data might not be new to you, but it's new to that particular person or department, and, you know, kind of pulling from something you did 6 months ago or 3 months ago. I'm sure there's, you know, a balance of stuff that needs redoing, right? If it maybe is no longer valid, and then the stuff that is still valid, that lasts, that is, you know, can help to inform a different decision at a different time.
Yeah, that, and our business is pretty fluid. Mm-hmm. Our products, there's a lot of innovation. We have lots of really great products that sometimes might be before their time. Or they may need another thing in order to make that thing better. We have the great fortune of working on things that might be new to world, and it may be truly great, but you know, you need to do a few things for people to believe it, for people to understand how it fits into their world. And then there are also the practicalities of the business. you said it may not be the right time or the right person. Again, Microsoft, like a lot of companies, especially through the pandemic, you know, this great resignation was a thing. And we found ourselves over the last couple of years, especially as we export talent, we bring in really great talent as well. And we have that used, leverage that as an opportunity to bring up those stories, to reframe them, to bring them to newer people who have the power to drive some decision making. And sometimes, you know, that we benefit from that. It becomes the right place at the right time. I don't want to make you believe that it's 100% luck, but there's a place and time factor into it, as well as just damn good insights. And I think, you know, if you have the latter, you can take advantage of the former. And being in the game for the long haul is actually puts you in those in positions to be able to do just that.
I love that. You know, having more of a kind of site forward thinking kind of strategy, as opposed to just this question in this moment right now, is the priority. And you know, you talked a little bit about, you know, planning and kind of understanding the objectives before going into doing any research, right? And understanding what you already know. What else kind of goes into the process? Like, what do the teams have to do right to ensure that at the other end, they're ending up with that actionable insight?
Yeah. You know, my wife is a yoga instructor, and I'm sort of test dummy number one. And she says all the time, you know, this is pretty simple, but it's not easy. And that's what I think about your question. The answer to me is pretty simple, but it's just not easy to execute all the time. And it comes down to like knowing your business, like really knowing your business. I think for years as a researcher, I knew my research cold. I invested a lot of time making sure I understood the latest methods, what's going on, how to answer the question better, what technologies are out there, and on and on and on and on. Then I realized at the end of the day, when I'm on the client side, my company makes technology solutions that empower everyone in every organization to achieve more. That's our mission, not doing a really great conjoint study or, you know, doing a supreme job on that messaging study. Mm-hmm. All right, that's not what our company's for. We're not a research supplier. And so understanding our business and how what we do fits into how are we delivering technology to the world? How are we pricing our products the right way? How are we building the right business models for things that don't exist so that the people who buy them and integrate them into their businesses are getting the right value exchange from Microsoft? understanding those things is one, job one. You know, my team reads the strategy documents. We really understand what our stakeholders' goals are. And being able to do that, that deep understanding, makes you better at the research. It makes you ask better questions. It makes you frame them better. The second thing, partner with our, you know, we partner with our stakeholders. We're a centralized group. We have a sizable team. I think, I don't know. I don't even know what the number is. It's, 70, 80. I'm not quite sure. But we have a sizable team. And there's a lot of work to be done. But the real work is, how do we partner with our stakeholders? How do we live and breathe with them? How do we understand what they're going through, what they're trying to accomplish? And then how our research sits next to that. And that stakeholder engagement allows us to really figure out what's going on and what are the real questions, what's behind what we're being asked. And it allows us to really figure out what we really need to move the needle and to, frankly, be actionable, right? We can do research that's interesting all day long. And it's cool. And sometimes that's more fun. But sometimes it's really a simple, forward, boring question that will result in a shift in decision-making for our company. And understanding how to find that, and how to, you know, deliver the right insight against that question, that problem, that's the game. And then the third thing is sort of consult and play the long game. If we have those great relationships, we're able to do that. We realize that the project doesn't end when you do that presentation. And in my mind, that's when the impact starts. And you're able to put yourself in the right rooms when these conversations are happening. People, our stakeholders, know when to pull us in. They know how to leverage us and when to leverage us to help push a decision to the left or to the right. You know, it's everything from, you know, it wasn't on my team, on one of our broader team, a pretty young researcher on the team did something fantastic and shot out some pretty meaningful work. And the CEO of the company replied to that email, acknowledged it as good work and how it could potentially help us. Hashtag impact, right? Who doesn't want that? Yeah. I'm still waiting on my moment for that. But I think what that goes to show is we're very much a data-driven company. And, you know, if a senior executive has a problem, I promise you, a lot of people come out of the woodworks with an answer. Finance has an answer for sure. There's a zillion data scientists here, people in engineering address marketing questions all the time. You know, their strategy teams, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's us. And again, for senior executives, they have to balance all of that. And in that balancing, one of the things we do is really figure out how we bring the customer voice relative to all of that. And again, sometimes that's a long game. Sometimes that's months and months after the piece of work where we see a different opportunity. And by having those longer term relationships with our stakeholders, really understanding their business allows us to bring in what we know, hopefully into the right moment, into the right conversation, in a way that, again, can change hearts and minds. And then the half other thing that I would say we need to do is just remember that we are marketers, and we have to think like a marketer. We consult with our teams. We have to earn our way every day to be a really strong, impactful player for their business. And, you know, again, I like to push the team and say, well, let's just always keep earning that right. Because it feels good. I've been in situations where we're begging people to use us, where we're begging someone to listen, and that's just not fun. It's much more fun when we're asked to show up and deliver this answer in an important meeting, or even more so when we're in one of those meetings and there's the right opportunity and we have the right data and we can deliver that in the moment to the right person who can actually act upon it. That's what makes all of this worthwhile in my mind. And that's how we really move the needle with what we do.
Yeah. And that relationship piece beyond just that this project or this thing that we're working on is so key for that. It seems like, you know, there people are going to be more comfortable coming to you. I had once read an article. The topic was more around like sales and marketing alignment. And it was like, you know, the most important thing you need to know as a marketing executive is how your sales peer takes their coffee, right? Like, it's not any of the strategy stuff. It's like build a relationship so you can collaborate. And this feels very similar, right? Like, you know, knowing what they care about, what challenges they're trying to solve for in a day-to-day, so they feel comfortable coming to you, or you can strategically bring them insights to say, hey, I know this is something that's important to you right now. Look at what we found.
Absolutely. Half of my team is focused on business planning, and we set pricing, blending, seeding, packaging. And when we support our business planners, their primary stakeholders are both finance, because pricing is both a financial thing, and it helps determine, you know, how do we grow or what our profitability might be or margins and all that good stuff. But also engineering, because we are a digital business, and a lot of times how we make the product has a direct implication on monetization. You buy cloud things, gone are the days where we made a thing, we put it in a box, and we sent it to Best Buy, and people bought the CD-ROM and plugged it into their computer. Now you download a thing, and then you add it to this other thing, and now there's just lots of different ways to get the right product to the right individual, or the right decision maker, or the right business leader. All of those are customers right now, as opposed to long ago it was, just get it to the IT guy. And it was almost always a guy. Now the world is quite different. Sometimes it's the CMO has a heck of a lot more budget than IT, and understanding her wants and needs, that's who we need to address our products for directly. We need a message to that person. That's critical. And, like I was saying, I got a little distracted. since both finance and engineering are partners through these things, we have to sit in the middle of that and really figure out, I know what finance needs. In this quarter, it might be all about growth. And if it's all about growth, we've got five questions that probably light up a growth thing better than a profitability thing. And then engineering can be in a conversation. They're like, we want to grow, but you got to really think about the cogs on this thing. And to grow, you've got to do this thing. And again, that's part of the dance. And understanding the language of both finance and engineering, which aren't always aligned and often are not aligned with marketing, figure out how does our answer bring something to everybody in a way that makes sense. And on a good day, we have great harmony. And on an average day, we have some general congruency where we can step back and at least make a decision that sits in the middle of where everybody is thinking.
Mm. This is a great segue to my next question. And it's going to be very helpful for me to not go down like an Encarta 95 rabbit hole as you're talking about CD-ROMs. But like the good old days of school reports and stuff. But when you've got that sort of actionable insight, how do you get those stakeholders to agree on the direction of the decision? As you mentioned, like finance may have really different goals from engineering or marketing. What do you do to kind of get to that agreement?
Yeah, it's like what we were talking about earlier, really knowing the business, partnering with the stakeholders, and just staying in it for the long game. It's, At the end of the day, they help us craft what that actionable insight is. It's rarely we ask a question, and since the answer is 67% of the people said that they are very likely to buy product X, that we say, oh yeah, there's the answer, let's go. Just because 68% of the people like product X, in the research, we may say, yeah, that is engineering may say, yeah, that is great. But do you know what the cost implications of that are? And unfortunately, we may have product Y, product B, and product Q in there. And one of those may align with whatever our current needs are, from a cost perspective. Finance, again, may say, oh, nope, still got to grow. And so we're willing to do this if we think it will grow. And again, it's being able to be in those conversations. And I think the actionable insights in many cases are a function of those conversations where we're giving and taking and really figuring out what's what. And I think the understanding what they do and how they do it, figuring out how that relates to what the customer says, we're able to give that feedback and deliver what we learned relative to that. And I think, to the other point too, sometimes time and opportunity actually matter a lot. And if it is truly actionable insights, it can be part of the canon for our business. And sometimes it's like a Marvel movie. It might not be in this episode, but maybe in, Avengers 27, we've got the perfect answer now. We've known it all along, and now is the right time for it. I mean, it might sound a little glib, but I think if we are doing our jobs well and we are consulting with the company, and we're continually bringing the right actionable stuff to the table, we're able to leverage that across multiple conversations, which we're a part of, and bring it to the moment where we can actually make the business go left or make the business go right, or at least help the people who can make those decisions do that.
Right, right. So, I mean, actionable doesn't necessarily mean actionable right now. It's
not all the time.
Yeah.
And it's, it may be the right answer, but it may also take time to get there. We had a product. Did some really great research to deal with the pricing on this product. We said, oh, wow, customers are open to us raising the price because it's a great value exchange for them. And it was cool to do that. We announced it, that we're going to do this thing to this product sometimes next year. Wall Street went crazy. They loved the idea. They loved it. And so there was actually a material impact to to stock that day. So that's cool. Then we implemented the thing. The reaction was in line with the research and other factors. And the bottom line impact was real. And it's really cool. The researcher who drove this work, it's really cool to point to a thing that's really material, a really material portion of something that earned a few billion dollars for the business in a quarter, right? It's 18 months after we made that decision. That's impact. That means that was actionable. And again, it's not like we can, we hit a button and boom, it happens. Sometimes it fits into a process. And again, there's that dance. But that's how we drive actionable impact. And it's having that thing and making sure that it's ready for when we need to push it out. And we're continually working with the business.
I love that story. Do you find that like situations like that help to build confidence in your team and in your process and in insights in general?
We think so. I mean, again, we have lots of relationships. It's cool to have stakeholder relationships where we're being asked to the party. We don't have to beg for a seat at the table. We're often there early, and often we have, again, we are marketers, and so we sit with the marketing for the company. When we have great, fairly clear wins, it feels great. Again, there are other things that are smaller scale wins. I can't say it enough. I think the real value is when stakeholders come to me and say, hey, we've been working with a person on your team, Barry, and the stuff that they are bringing to us is awesome. It's really helping us. It's the stuff that matters, not the singular project. And that stuff is, the research bits. It is the human being who's a really great analyst, a pretty decent storyteller, and somebody who knows enough about the business to be able to deliver a piece of insight that helps solve a business problem. And that's what we get paid the mid-sized bucks for. I mean, that is why we're here.
I love that. So we get paid the mid-sized bucks. That's fantastic. And one thing I've been wanting to kind of go back to, I mean, you've talked a lot about the importance of understanding the business, right? The business that you're in, the stakeholders that you're collaborating with. What tips, if any, would you give to any kind of external partners that are working with you, whether that's on the tech side or any like agency partners you might have, to help understand not their business, but your business, and better partner with you?
Yeah. When I have a true partner, there's a fairly decent exchange of that type of information. I can't share everything. I can't share strategy documents and planning documents and stuff like that. I need this job, so I'm not trying to get fired that way. We have things like, I have a set of core priorities, and when my research partners all know what my core priorities are and how that drives what our team is focused on. Partners have been working on for us for years in some cases, and in many times really have a deep focus on many of the product areas. And so they understand our products. They understand what we've been researched because they've been doing it. They understand what we care about because of the way that we operate. Our really good partners are often a part of some of those conversations as well, especially the earlier parts. And they're getting that field feedback real time. We strive not to play too much telephone. Our more critical partners we have a pretty intimate relationship in the creation of those actionable insights, and we give a lot of feedback, and we share as much as we can. Now I also have, and I tell people all the time, I use research vendors as well. And that relationship is different. It is more transactional. There is a time and a place for that. There are a select set of folks who I deem as much more of a research partner, and they can tend to go deep. They tend to have, in some cases, a stronger connection to a portion of the business by dealing with research over time that makes them really know the product pretty well. It makes them proactive. It makes them bring things to the table that are, I don't want to say much more fully baked, but are much more relevant, so that our starting places are different. And it makes for better conversations. And so for me, cultivating a great set of research partners who we can rely on and push more deeply into helping us, make sense of this madness. That is my responsibility, leading our team to make sure that we're able to do that, and my team's responsibility to make sure that we are helping them help us. And I think it creates many times a virtuous cycle. On the flip side of that, another responsibility I hold is making sure that we are keeping that fresh and that we are bringing in new partners or new techniques that make sense for us to capitalize on to make what we do even better. And so, you know, my goal is not to have five companies do all of our work. You get into trouble with that. but we want to make sure we're also looking out at new techniques, new thinking, sometimes just new blood, just to make sure that we are cultivating a good cadre of research partners that are at their prime persistently.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Thank you for that. And I think that your choice of language is very important there, like a vendor versus a partner, which is really, really interesting. Now, just before we wrap up, how do you measure success of actionable insights on your team? Is it, you know, that business impact or, you know, how do you decide, hey, we've done it today?
Yeah. Oh, boy. It's a great question. We do that in a number of ways. One, it's a function of how are they delivering great insight that's sticky, that fits the business, that is part of business decisions. We also measure things like the consistency across somebody's book of work. Not everything is going to be, you know, the silver arrow, silver bullet. It's sort of that collection and how do we work across that collection? It's challenging. There are times where the research gives you an answer and the business may choose to go in it against that action, that recommendation. It does not necessarily mean that the research was wrong. Mm. It just means that sometimes the business makes a different decision because decision makers have multiple inputs and research is one of a few things that they do lean on. What I strive to do is to really look at a researcher's book of work and how are they kind of taking the set of stuff forward in any given year. And we give lots of feedback. I have two of the best managers in the research team who work with me. And the way that they give feedback to their team, the way that they help bridge the gap between stakeholder expectations on a business problem and how we address that. And then how they create consistency within and across stakeholders so that we're coming across well. I think all of that ensures that we are set up as well as we can be to, you know, going back to the baseball analogy, that we're hitting the ball a lot more. And I think, again, the more you hit the ball, the more chances you have to score. And kind of that's the best that we can do. If I were batting 1,000, you and I wouldn't be having this conversation because I would have retired long ago. But you know, the reality is it's a piece of a puzzle, and we want to make sure that our piece fits into the business well, so that it's at least a considered part, and that's what makes sort of the group delivering a set of actionable insights that the business can rely on.
Awesome. I love hearing that about your team too. I hope they're listening and they know how valued they are. That's awesome.
Well, me too. And without them, well, you don't want me doing all the work.
You and me both. Well, Barry, this has been such a great chat. I really appreciate your actionable insights today and this conversation. So thanks for joining me.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. And I know it was fun.
Absolutely. Thanks everyone for listening today. We will be back with another episode later this week. So we will see you then.